Hello, and welcome to episode 75 of Expertise is Overrated, the podcast that takes the time to answer the questions you didn't know you didn't want the answer to. I'm Sean.
And I'm Vib, and neither of us has any clue what we're talking about.
Much like Tom Riddle doing anagrams.
No, hey.
Well done. The reason I got really excited at the end of that introduction was I forgot to update it. So it just read, I'm Vib, and I'm Vib, and that no one wants that.
I didn't even notice that.
Did you not? I thought that's why you chuckled. I thought that's why you chuckled at the start of yours.
I chuckled because you chuckled. I was like, okay, what has he done? And I was trying to figure out what you messed up.
I didn't, and I could have said nothing.
Well, you did mess up because you wrote the intro. But...
True.
Wait, you did say I'm Sean, right?
I did say I'm Sean, but I said it really loudly.
Yes, you did. That is true. That is true.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm a little worse for wear today, so
you're sick.
Might not notice as much as usual.
You're sick as a parrot, and I've started coughing. I haven't coughed for about a week, and then we start recording, and I'm instantly coughing, which is really worrying.
If you think about the last time that both of us were like in tip-top shape, now usually it's you, but you have a better excuse for being ill than me.
I've got several better excuses than you.
It's true, yeah. It's not competition, mate. It's not like the worst physiology in the world.
Everything's a competition.
But yeah, apologies if my voice is a little bit all over the shop and there's some sniffling.
I'd commit to husky.
I'll go for husky. I can sing this episode if you want.
Please don't.
Go full Phoebe.
Full Phoebe.
I shan't. No, nobody wants that.
So, what are we talking about today? As we make our triumphant return to recording
after a whole week off.
A whole week off, completely seamless for the listeners. We're back.
So far, so good. Yeah, I mean, some of us had a nice escape to the sun, while some of us stayed in what is currently a 4-degree rainy Britain bloody April, end of April. It's so fucking annoying.
I've got two jumpers on in April. Like, what is this?
It's not okay. It's not okay. We did not agree to this.
No, I don't remember signing anything saying that this would be allowed.
Yeah.
The weather has been awful since... I feel like we should probably be blaming Liz Truss, just on instinct.
Same difference, really, isn't it?
Same shit, different flavour.
Exactly. But no, we're not here to talk about the weather. We are, in fact, here to talk about Tom Riddle. Well, or the terrible anagram he came up with.
I really liked... So, yeah, obviously we're talking Harry Potter.
Tom Riddle.
Tom. The Harry Potter universe. But Tom Riddle.
You call it Wizarding World, actually?
Shut up and let me tell this really uninteresting story.
We haven't heard that in a while. Shut up and let me talk. Nice.
Tom Riddle has. Both Tom Riddle and Lord Voldemort are different in different languages to make the anagram work. Which I think is like. A really neat little quirk of translation.
Do you have any examples to hand?
No, and I really should.
Mate, honestly.
Tom Riddle anagram in French.
See, what really bothers me about the Tom Riddle anagram is that J.K. Rowling said it was supposed to be Voldemort, right? As in the French.
Yeah.
So the hard T at the start of his name gets completely lost in his anagram, which makes no sense to me as well. Then, of course, he added the I am, which is just completely bonkers, but yeah. It'll fit with what I'm going to say about him later, so that he's a fucking moron and overrated.
This is fantastic. In German, he's called Tom Vorlost Riddle, which then becomes Ist Lord Voldemort. So when he does the writing his name in the air thing in the Chamber of Secrets, you've got to read the whole thing as one sentence, which becomes Tom Vorlost Riddle, East Lord Voldemort, so they could keep the name short.
Oh, that is so much worse.
That's so good. I think that's amazing.
Fucking hell. What is an anagram that doesn't even work on its own?
That's so good. In... Where is it?
JK. Oh, JK.
His name in French is Tom Elvis Judasaur, which forms an anagram for Jesus Voldemort. In Icelandic, his name is Trevor Delgome, which becomes Egg Air Voldemort. But his middle name stays as Marvolo, but is not used in the anagram. I just think this is a really interesting quirk of translating works. So I have
that's cool.
I had a good friend at school whose mother was a professional translator, and she used to translate things like poetry. And getting her talking about the sort of depth that you have to go into to do a proper poetry translation was always really interesting, because you've got to find ways to capture like the symbolism. So you can't just do a one-to-one word translation, and you can't even just do a one-to-one word translation that you then fiddle with to get the meter and the rhyming pattern right. You have to basically completely rewrite the poem to make the symbolism work.
Hey, it's fascinating. That has always intrigued me, because so a friend of mine at school, his mum was a, or maybe still is, I don't know, a translator, but like at the UN, one of those kind of translators.
Oh, wow. So like an interpreter.
I don't know if it was actually the UN, but yeah, like an interpreter. Yeah.
Like a real time.
Which is a different skill set, right? Exactly. Because you sort of have to do it fast and make the same sense that the person speaking, obviously.
But you have to be in a position there to drop things like idiom and rhetoric and just get content across.
Yeah,
surely.
I think so.
It's not even remotely what we're talking about, but I just think it's fascinating. Like,
well, I think it matters, because ultimately I am Tom Marvolo Riddle, I am Lord Voldemort, is just goes to show that he's secretly an idiot.
And yeah, that's going to be my case today. I think you're right. I think the fact he probably, when he was penning that in his sixth year, you can just imagine him chuckling to himself at what he considered was a really clever ploy. I'm smart. No one will ever guess this. And it's like, no one will ever guess it, because it's so inane. The idea. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just say it's proper shit.
It's proper, proper shit. The idea for today is we're going to do a compare and contrast between sort of the two leading dark wizards that overshadow the wizarding world, as it's now called, apparently. So Tom Marvolo Riddle / Lord Voldemort on the one hand, and Gellert Grindelwald on the other. And I guess we're trying to work out who's the best dark wizard, the worst wizard, the biggest bad,
the worst best wizard, the best worst wizard, the darkest best, wizard,
the darkest wizard, perhaps.
That sounds terrible.
The biggest threat, perhaps that's the best way to do it. The biggest threat to the wizarding world.
See, that I think is unfair, because you've already hit the nail on the head by saying in the world, and that's just not even a competition.
Yeah, perhaps that's the most effective Dark Lord, and then we just get to not really engage with the problem. Might be the best way to do it. Do you want to take us on a high speed tour through Tom Marvolo Riddle?
As in literally through him?
Yeah. So start at his nose,
start
and just work down,
and then go down. Well, obviously, I guess we'll be going through the esophagus rather than the trachea.
Of all the possible responses to that line, I did not expect you to continue the bit.
I am committed, if nothing else. Well, Tom Marvolo Riddle is, of course, Lord Voldemort.
Yep.
That's probably all we have to say about him, really. Kind of boring otherwise. Orphaned, descendant of Salazar Slytherin.
Maybe.
Obviously ended up in Slytherin House, because, duh. Recruited into Hogwarts by none other than Albus Dumbledore.
Yep.
Who arguably the third name we should be throwing into the hat for best darkest wizard ever, but that's a different debate, perhaaps.
Wow.
erstwhile dark wizard. Really? Obviously very bright student, won multiple awards, won an award for special services to the school by shutting down a Chamber of Secrets that he opened.
Which is just so good.
Yeah, that's a great con.
Isn't it? Like, that's, wrote a that's diary a that proper shit actually doesn't history, that,
record really. Anything. Well, it does record something, but, you know, it talks back to you, which is kind of neat, I guess. It's all right. Got a giant expelled. Half giant.
True. Poor Hagrid.
Killed Myrtle.
Yeah, caused the death of Moaning Myrtle.
Yeah. Then went to Albania and seemingly got fucked.
Yeah, there's a big talk about origin stories that no one was really asking for with the Fantastic Beasts series. I want an R-rated what happened to Tom Riddle in Albania.
I'd love it to be he met Gellert Grindelwald somehow and he's like, oh god.
I want it to be. Did you ever watch the Hostel films? There was that era of essentially slash horror. No,
that rings a bell, but I don't think so.
They're god awful films. Like, you're not missing out. I think there was two of them. I'm sure there was actually four, but two of them were direct to VHS. It was probably DVD at the time, but. Like, I imagine it was just something like that. Like, he's just backpacking around Eastern Europe and accidentally gets off the bus at the wrong stop and ends up, I don't know, drinking a virgin's blood in the moonlight type thing. And he's like, oh, I could get used to this, yeah.
Well, but I mean, he already that. Started, right? Because he was making Horcruxes while at Hogwarts, pretty much.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
So he was already on a dark path. We'll come back to the Horcrux because I think it is a big negative against him.
Mm-hmm.
But, leaves school, wants to come back to August to teach. And that is interesting, because I do think there is some sort of truth to the fact that he did want to teach.
That is baffling.
And I'm not entirely convinced it was just because he wanted to sort of recruit a dark army and things like that. I think that probably was part of his plan for domination, is to actually affect education, which is quite a smart tactic. Not going to lie. I rate that about him.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he was such a fabled wizard. And then he became basic and cast one spell for the rest of his life.
Yes, which I'm sure we'll come on to.
Yeah, and that was sort of his undoing, I think.
Yeah,
there you go. That's Tom Arvola Riddle for you.
That was simultaneously really detailed and sort of somehow felt like a really shit summary of Lord Voldemort, which I really rate. I think that was a really impressive feat. Well done.
You're welcome. Oh, he likes snakes.
Light snakes. Bigger. Big fan of snakes.
Big fan of snakes.
Big fan of
snakes. Well, you've done yourself a disservice there, I think, because now you get to talk us through Gellert Grindelwald.
Gellert Grindelwald. So Gellert Grindelwald is, I think, his biggest claim to fame, really.
He's really Hungarian, by the way, even though I don't think that's ever confirmed, but based on that first name.
You think? I assumed he was
Gellert. That's like a Hungarian name, as far as I know. Or at least the only Gellert I've ever met was Hungarian. But that's pretty proof small enough. Sample size.
Proof enough for me.
Statistically robust.
Isn't there's a saying in statistics: one is no one, two is everyone. Have you ever heard that?
Everything's a saying in statistics. Right? It's all bullshit.
I always sort of assumed that he was either South German or Austrian, sort of from the Alps.
Because of the last name, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I wonder
could
if
be
Austro- So anyway, give us the backstory.
Hungarian.
It could be Austro-Hungarian,
could be
actually, yeah.
From the Austro-Hungarian Empire prior to World War. Anyway, so I think his biggest claim to fame, as I was saying, is being Bathilda Bagshot's nephew. I don't really think he's done much other than being born with that particular wooden spoon in his mouth.
Explains a lot, right? I mean, if I was born into that kind of shadow, I'd be...
Yeah, you'd always be seeking to measure up to Bathilda Bagshot of Godric's Hollow. He's sort of teenage and early 20s friends with Albus Dumbledore, obviously, who you covered. And then at some point goes slightly off the rails and becomes... I'm not even really sure what, like a bit of a rabble rouser, something of a paternalistic wizard supremacist, and might also be the cause of World War II, although that's unconfirmed, and is eventually stopped by Dumbledore. But not killed, I think, crucially. I think that's quite important to recognize.
Ah, you believe the propaganda.
Yeah, I do. I'm buying into the propaganda.
You've not been reading Rita Skeeter?
I have not been reading Rita Skeeter. No.
That could be a great name for a column. Skeeter. Reading Rita Skeeter.
Reading to Rita. Yeah.
I feel Grindelwald is...
He's a bit of a shadow. He's a bit of a black box.
Yeah.
And they tried to, in the Fantastic Beasts films, which I fear we're going to keep coming back to, they tried to characterize him a bit, but that slightly failed by having three actors play Grindelwald over three films, which I, in a sense, quite liked if it had felt deliberate, but it didn't. It just felt like halfway through the second film, they realized that Johnny Depp might be an awful human being, and they didn't really want to deal with that, so they got Mads Mikkelsen instead.
Yeah. Those films had many problems. It's a shame, because I really wanted to know about Grindelwald's history.
I wanted them to just commit. So we'll come back to, and we need to spend a lot of time comparing them, because I think their methods are so different, and their...
Yeah.
And indeed, their targets are so different. I think they are worth contrasting. But to dwell on Fantastic Beasts for a moment, and I think we said this before, if they'd committed to this is the Dumbledore and Grindelwald story told from the perspective of not them, but people around them, I think that would have been really interesting. I would have enjoyed that. And Jude Law and Mads Mikkelsen, and indeed, hesitate to say it, Johnny Depp.
And Colin Farrell.
Farrell were all excellent at doing the Grindelwald.
But it's unfortunately one of the things that I think sunk the series, right? This whole Johnny Depp control, because this was a mid, you know, it was the worst Depp. Of the stories coming out about him and Amber Heard. Although I think we've since learned that he's probably not as abhorrent as some people try to make him look. Not saying he's not entirely...
I didn't follow it because I didn't care. But my nuanced take is they're both a bit shit.
My take on him is that he's just an artiste, right? Very bohemian. And that comes with certain issues. Probably a little bit of substance abuse, I think.
That's probably fair. That's probably
fair. From what I've seen from the trial, I think he was pretty honest about, you know, having taken drugs at a number of occasions.
I don't think Jack Sparrow was necessarily acting quite as hard as other people might have needed to.
But just me and Amber Heard sounds like a whole other piece of work. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. So it is a shame that we're never going to see. Well, not never, but we're not going to see it with this particular cast. It's unfortunate, right? Because as you say, between Jude Law and Mads Mikkelsen, they arrived at such a crazily good
that was cast fantastic. For that story. There were elements of that film that was Secrets of Dumbledore. Or something, whatever that one was called.
The third one.
Yeah, the third one. There were scenes in that were fantastic with the two of them, and you could really see how you could have taken the chemistry that they had on screen and turned it into a really compelling story. But also, you've got Eddie Redmayne there, and you're trying to still make it about Fantastic Beasts because. That's your tagline. And
they were really phoning it in by the third one with that, right? It's like, oh, we need some beast to be a feature. Oh, we'll make it some sort of like sage. It just made no sense. It's a real magic deer. Because I also liked Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander.
So did I.
I liked that story.
Tell two separate stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Do Fantastic Beasts and have it be Adventures and Capers with Newt Scamander. Basically like Indiana Jones. I'd watch that. I'd watch all of that all the time. And also do Crimes of Dumbledore. Hey, there's a Freudian slip. Do Crimes of Grindelwald and Secrets of Dumbledore and all of that as darker, grittier.
What I didn't really need was a film where it's literally a love story on top of a love story on top of a love story on top of a love story. Right? I think it's about right. And then a secret Dumbledore. Not just a secret to Dumbledore, but an actual secret Dumbledore, which still makes no sense. Guess we'll never find out where they're going with that, but okay.
Is he actually a Dumbledore, or is it all? Yeah, this is frustrating.
At this point, I don't even really care anymore. That's another one. You're going to cast Johnny Depp, fair enough. Eccentric, but at least a good actor. Then you're going to cast fucking Ezra Miller. Come on.
I know. That didn't help them.
People who made those films just need to stop.
That really didn't help.
Just go and do something else.
They might have been able to survive Depp, but you can't survive Johnny Depp and Ezra Miller.
No. You can't recast Depp and then not recast Miller.
No, there was also that. Yeah, when...
let's get to the actual meat of this. So you wrote a very interesting question, which I think is quite pertinent, is how do you even measure this? I think that is a very good question. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do you even measure who is the darkest dark wizard that's ever dark wizarded?
I think you've got to look at what they're trying to do. Right? Because you can't just go... Voldemort seems... We don't know a huge amount about Grindelwald, but Voldemort seems very willing to just murder people left, right, and centre, kind of because he can. But I don't think that's necessarily a sufficient test. I think you've got to look at their long-term goals. Like, what are they trying to achieve by their actions? I think.
See, and this is... I can't tell if I'm just really disappointed by Voldemort.
I think when you're a massive
Grindelwald fan, I don't want to say that because I think that sends entirely the wrong message.
We're going to get back to. I'm not saying Grindelwald had a point, but
exactly. Yeah, we're throwing back to like 40 episodes ago now.
No, but there's
fundamentally, one is fundamentally a politician, and the other is just a psychopathic murderer with mummy/daddy issues.
Yeah, that's exactly
who,
right.
Who never managed to interpret it. Honestly, you give Tom Riddle therapy at the age of 14 onwards, he'll probably be all right.
Yeah, if Tom Riddle went
even
to
earlier,
a
right? He comes to school an awful. Like, start it then.
Yeah, if Tom Riddle went to a normal school rather than Hogwarts, everything would have been fine.
Yeah, the school that teaches you how to control the mind, or someone else's mind, doesn't teach you how to control yours.
It's, yeah. I know, I think you're right. That was... Yeah, I don't really know what to do with that, so I'm just going to move past it. I think you're right, though. I think as a kid, when you're reading the books for the first time, Voldemort is really scary because you're 11 years old, 12 years old, whatever, and here's a guy who's quite willing to just murder an old man because the old man is there and his snake might be hungry. And that's terrifying. But as you grow up, I think Grindelwald is far scarier because he, apart from anything else, appears to be far more effective than Voldemort. Voldemort gathers to him basically the disillusioned and the disaffected.
And the thing is, Voldemort is he's a classic sort of story villain, right? This larger than, this almost cartoonishly evil guy, as you say, just kills an old man for the sake of it. Snake face. His mission seems to be pretty simple, which is just world domination. Except that the world for him seems to extend no further than Dover.
But also, his actual target doesn't really appear to be world domination. It appears to just be, I personally want to live forever.
Yeah. It's very Achilles of him. But Grindelwald, I think...
It is, yeah.
He's much scarier because he just parallels real-life figures.
Yeah,
and... But with insane magical powers behind it, which is just an absolutely terrifying thought.
And I think it goes without saying that both of them are effective wizards, although I'm sure we'll have a bit of a debate about that later. But... Grindelwald appears to be able to pair being an effective wizard with being a charismatic human being. Like, he's able to, I'm going to be generous here, I don't know that I actually believe this, but he's able to effectively pull the wool over Dumbledore's eyes, sufficiently for them to effectively have a romantic relationship. He's able to convince the other most powerful wizard in the world to go along with his plan.
No, I think that's an unfair assessment.
It quite possibly is.
I'm not sure it's him pulling the wool over Dumble's eyes. I think it's just two young men with crazy ideas, as you do at that age.
Yeah.
I mean, at that age, push the boat out with your political ideals, and then one realizes, "Oh, this is nuts," and the other doesn't.
Yeah, these ideals are going too far.
What's interesting about Grindelwald is that he doesn't need to be a powerful, or like the most powerful wizard, in order to achieve what he's trying to achieve.
No,
he just also happens to be.
His premise isn't predicated on "I'm the most powerful." He's not a despot in the way that Voldemort is.
Yeah.
Voldemort is very exactly. much the might makes right. I've got the biggest stick, so I'm in charge. And Grindelwald.
I do also have to kind of defend Tom Riddle a little bit. Because you're saying that Grindelwald is charming and charismatic, which I think is true based on everything we've seen. But that was also very much famously said of Tom Riddle, right? Especially when he was younger. It's only when he started splitting his soul that splitting his soul. That he lost some of that.
Yeah, but you almost have to... I think there's something to that, though, because we never get the sense that either Dumbledore or Grindelwald ever entertained the idea of using Horcruxes.
No, because I think, again, to use Achilles as an example from the great film Troy...
It is a great
film. They both see immortality as a completely different thing. Right, I think Grindelwald certainly just wanted to achieve something in the world. Maybe not even for his own gain. That's something I've never been entirely clear on. But his vision, I think, would have granted him effective immortality.
Yes.
Whereas Tom Riddle just never wanted to die.
Yeah. Tom Riddle's notion of immortality was of an incredibly mundane version of immortality. It's the most literal translation of... Which is sort of in keeping with what we see of his character elsewhere, right? At every turn,
he's very literal.
He's basic, as you said. He's mundane. He's literal.
He dies younger than Dumbledore and Grindelwald.
He dies far younger than both Dumbledore and Grindelwald. He's done in by his own hubris, his desire to be the biggest and the baddest and the best. And I appreciate that we don't see a huge amount of Grindelwald in the books, but you just never get the sense from the way everyone interacts about Grindelwald that he was like that.
Yeah.
And he also achieves so much more than Riddle Voldemort does. Like,
The issue, I think, the long-term vision of Voldemort is never...
I don't think he has one.
Well, he does, right? But it's so egocentric because it's always like he doesn't have any friends. He doesn't because he fundamentally doesn't care about anybody else other than him.
Mm.
So I think if the whole country burns but he's happy, then that's fine. Grindelwald is different, right? I think he clearly had a vision. It's important to remember that, you know, Victor Crumb obviously points out that, you know, he gets so angry when he sees the symbol. That Grindelwald clearly did some absolutely abhorrent things and life was shit. But he had some sort of ulterior motive to, in his mind, make things better, right?
Well, it's his slogan that was I forget the name of the place, but that was emblazoned across his fortress prison,
Nurmengard, which is in Austria, actually.
Is it? I mean, I'm committing to he's Austro-Hungarian then, but for the greater good, like he had a vision of the world. That he was seeking to implement, which he thought would make everyone's lives better. And,
yeah,
you know, if you have
not
to...
Not everyone's, the people he cared about.
Well, no, I think...
The peoples he cared about.
Rather. I think it's probably fair to say that his and Dumbledore's approach to muggles, for example, when they're both young, I suspect there's nuance there, but they both seem to be in a sort of condescendingly paternalistic perspective where what they're trying to do is essentially remove from them the burden of rulership because or self-leadership because it's too much work for them. I think that is trying to better their lives. Not in a way that anyone would want, but I think they genuinely believed it was better.
That's reading a bit much into it, I think.
You think that's a stretch?
I think that's a stretch. I think that's a stretch. Because I feel like, based on what we've seen about Grindelwald's persona, he could have tried to go political in that respect, right? And mm-hmm. sort of politicked wizard kind to the front.
Yeah, perhaps.
But everything tells us that that's not how he went about it. As you say, suggestions of him causing some fairly major wars.
Just a couple.
Which, for the record, makes him a better evil wizard than Voldemort, who's done fuck all. But, yeah, so I'm not sure about that. And this is a big negative for me for Grindelwald, is that he had such a great vision. Not saying I agree with it.
But he,
he had a vision, a very clear vision.
Somewhere
down the road, he just didn't. He sort of lost the plot a little bit, and maybe that's the whole Dumbledore storyline, you know, broken heart, etc. But
yeah, perhaps. I also quite like the idea that dark magic, much like we see in other. In other media, in other fiction, the dark magic is a sort of corrupting and damaging influence on you. So if those are the paths that you choose to tread, then that has an effect on you and the way you think and the way you behave.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because I'm not saying you're wrong about that, necessarily. I think Tom Riddle exemplifies that greatly.
Yeah.
But what explicit uses of dark magic do we see from Gellert Grindelwald? Or have we heard about? Like, people talk about him as a dark wizard, and he clearly did some terrible, made a terrible movement, and did some terrible things. But even in the films, do we? I'm genuinely asking: did we see him do any?
Dark magic. Assuming that the films are canon, which for these purposes, I'm going to. We see Johnny Depp's Grindelwald. I'm sure he kills a kid. I'm sure he kills a kid.
See, that's the second film.
In Paris.
To be fair, in the first film, Colin Farrell starts to just blast at the Macusa guys, right? So
yeah, I think,
but
I
not
think...
green, mind you. So he's not throwing a Avada Kedavra around.
No. The blue fire that Depp creates at Père Lachaise kills people.
You know everything about the second film. That's so strange.
I don't know. It's stuck. It's
the worst
one. It's burned into my memory.
Hey. See what you did there?
No,
he does do that. That's true. Yeah, no, so he does do some fairly dark shit.
Mads, I don't think, does very much.
No, but that was peak politician, right? I think.
Yeah, we don't see much. We see. Oh no! Doesn't he create an Inferus of the weird deer creature?
Is that what he did?
Well, he resurrects it somehow or animates the body because he kills it in the.
I guess it is sort of inverse. It's a bit of necromancy, at least.
Yeah, he does something necromancy adjacent, and in nearly every media, necromancy is capital D dark magic. So maybe that.
What are we talking about in terms of him not wanting immortality? His whole spiel is trying to get the Deathly Hallows, isn't it?
But I don't think the Deathly Hallows give you immortality. Right, because none of them stop you from aging.
No, but they protect you from death.
Yes, by preventing you from being killed, not from
dying. No, by preventing death from being able to find you. That's literally the whole children's tale. The only reason that the third brother dies is because he was fed up and.
But there's, you know, there's no suggestion that it's the death looked everywhere for the third brother, but because he couldn't find him. But there's no suggestion that the third brother lives an unnatural lifespan. In fact, I think the very opposite.
Oh no, I thought he did.
No, I think the third brother
wasn't that part of the Peveril legend.
I don't think so. I thought that the third Peveril brother, at the end of his natural life, puts off the cloak and greets death as an old friend. That's the message. That's the actual message of the tale of the three brothers. Having a healthy relationship with death. Death, life is meant to have a natural endpoint. I'm sure of this.
Sorry, I was sneezing.
That's all right.
Hang on. I need to read this.
Because I think
he lived to like 96, which is
yeah. But isn't Dumbledore like 150?
Yeah. But you know, this is 1200 and something.
Yeah, so he lives a long time, but he doesn't live
77.
He doesn't live 300 years. And he's able to avoid things that would have otherwise killed him by being invisible. It's in the same way that the Elder Wand enables you to avoid being killed in a duel. By having the stronger wand. Like, that's how it makes you the master of death. That's how the Hallows make you the master of death and be able to avoid death. But they don't enable you to unnaturally expand your life. That's the distinction with the Horcruxes, I think. The Horcruxes allow you to dodge being killed. Or essentially to come back.
So every time I look into this stuff, the history is amazing. Like, who knows this stuff? Ignotus's granddaughter married the son of Linfred of Stinchcombe. Like, how do we even know that? No, but I think you're right. Okay, so I might have read too much into it. But remembering, of course, that the real canon probably is what Dumbledore said, right? That there were gifted wizards who made these artifacts.
Yeah,
but that doesn't go back to my original point. Grindelwald was actively seeking these.
He was actively seeking them. But
maybe not for an immortality point, yeah, as you said.
No, Dumbledore himself explains why Grindelwald wanted them. Like, he wanted the Elder Wand because it was the Elder Wand and that was power, and he wanted the Resurrection Stone. Grindelwald wanted the Resurrection Stone for an army. No, Dumbledore wanted it to see his family.
Neither one cared about the cloak, actually.
And Dumbledore explicitly says neither one of them turned their minds to the cloak. They weren't looking to be immortal. They saw the Hallows as tools to achieve their ends.
Yeah, okay, fine. I rescind my own counter-argument.
To be fair, I don't think Harry fully understands that, because he says to dream Dumbledore Hallows, not Horcruxes, as if those were two different ways of achieving the same goal. But I don't think they are. I think they're more symptomatic of differing philosophies than they are alternative available tool sets, if that makes sense.
Oh, don't. Ooh. Do I agree with that? To an extent. I think that statement is much simpler, actually. I think he's just saying, you know, your ultimate quest for some form of power was not as evil as it could have been.
Wasn't as evil, yeah.
Perhaps. Which, again, big point for Grindelwald in the sort of elegance category.
Yeah, so I think...
Although arguably it makes Voldemort darker. Yeah, the route he took to immortality was much more fucked up.
It was. I think that's worth considering.
But also dumb as shit, because you're splitting your own soul into seven pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. And Voldemort seems to not care about his soul, like, at all.
Which is weird, right? Such a fundamental misunderstanding of life.
It's never really explained in Harry Potter what a soul is. And how it's relevant. But, like, if I've got one, if souls are real and I know I've got one, I'm going to be damn sure I'm going to look after it.
Well, but in some ways, I guess he thinks he is doing that, right? By saving parts of a soul. But equally, if you look at yourself in the mirror and you realize you're turning into a snake.
Maybe stop at two.
But then he does like snakes. Like, I made that very clear at the start, that he does like snakes.
He's a big snake boy.
So maybe he was like, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Nice. No, I'm fairly sure if I started to look like Voldemort, I would have stopped at two. But we never get
just show some remorse, go back, you know, just fix it.
Undo. Control Z. But he's
wait, who the fuck says Z? You American. Anyway.
My daughter's been learning the alphabet, and so she sings the alphabet song, and all the ones on YouTube go XYZ.
That is that an explanation, yes.
Stuck in my head. That's derailed me.
Yeah, no, so okay, so...
But when he's talking to when Voldemort is talking to Slughorn, there is no discussion of the damage that splitting your soul could do. Like, I would be asking Slughorn, isn't it incredibly risky to split your soul?
Slughorn says that.
Yeah, but that's where I would...
You know, splitting your soul is a terrible thing, a terrible idea. And then when Voldemort was like, wouldn't seven be the best, you know, because it's like the most magical number. Slughorn was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but there's no indication of why that might possibly be true. Other than seven is the most magically relevant number, but like...
No, but I think the implication there is just like, it's a soul. Don't fuck around with it.
Yeah.
No, it's the only one you get.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably an afterlife argument to that, although we don't really... Well, we sort of do engage with the afterlife, don't we?
Guess what I'm trying.
We see the Resurrection Stone, and we see Lily and James, and people come back.
Yeah, that one's always been a bit weird to me.
Yeah, and there's an element of, like, is that actually them, or is that just Harry's own...
A projection.
Yeah. But again, it's a sort of argument... If it is them, you know, their souls are all impure and so on and so forth. Whereas if your soul's split in seven, I don't think you'll appear quite the same way.
You look like the Resurrection Stone. You look like whatever.
It's an experiment someone should do.
Bring Voldemort back through using the Resurrection Stone.
See what it looks like.
Just be whatever it was that was under the bench in King's Cross.
Yeah.
Although
I think, we'll just believe that that's probably the last 1/7 of his soul.
There's eight of them.
Eight at that point, yeah.
Yeah. I think that sort of brings us round to, like, in terms of pure magical ability, and we've had this conversation where we were talking about the most effective duelists. Like, is that a useful question, even a useful question to ask? Because
yes and no, right? Because unless you disagree, I think Gellert Grindelwald's skill is kind of second to his whole deal. But he is very skillful, whereas it is everything to Voldemort.
But I don't even know that Voldemort is skillful. What do we see him do that's magically skillful?
Well, he does create Horcruxes, and he creates rather a lot of them, which is not an easy bit of magic.
All right, fair. Although, because we don't know how to create a Horcrux, and J.K. Rowling has allegedly said that she wanted to put it in a book and her publishers vomited and then said no, which I just don't believe.
But he's also, like, an incredibly accomplished student, and that does very strongly seem to correlate with skill.
Post-Hogwarts skill. Yeah, that's probably actually the best evidence, isn't it?
Yeah, because aside from that, we don't have a whole lot, other than he duels Dumbledore quite elegantly, and
does he seems to be all right. Dumbledore elegantly?
Well,
doesn't he just... Oh, no, but they do...
There's a lot more finesse to that than most other duels we see in the books.
Yeah, there is,
the only one that comes even close is Snape versus McGonagall versus...
Snape versus McGonagall
and Sprout and Flitwick.
Yeah, no, that's
And even fair. Then at the very end, Voldemort duels Kingsley Shacklebolt, of all people, and McGonagall and Slughorn.
Yes, that's true.
And then he beats them.
And he beats them.
Ish.
Well, he knocks everybody back, right, yeah. back, doesn't he? My problem is when I think of the Dumbledore duel, I get fixated on the Dumbledore is being technically skillful and Voldemort is throwing killing curse after killing curse. But that's not actually accurate. Is it?
Well, it sort of is, right?
He does other stuff as well, though. Yeah, and also chucks killing curses in the midst of it all.
Yeah, but the other stuff he does is all kind of defensive, right? So he chucks killing curses, Dumbledore chucks some sort of, like, insanely powerful, non-lethal spell.
Sleep spell.
Yeah, and it's only ever... Am I right in saying this? It feels to me like it was only ever when Dumbledore threw something at Voldemort that he had to, like, adapt and turn that into something. But his go-to is just AK that shit.
And I'm sure this comes back to a conversation that we've had before. The thing that's most dangerous about Voldemort, I think, is the fact that he's willing to kill absolutely anyone for any reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So no hesitation.
If we buy into the Barty Crouch Jr. theory that you have to mean the unforgivable curses in order for them to be effective. That's what's the most terrifying thing about Voldemort, is he can mean a killing curse on a man he's never met just because he's standing there. Yeah.
But that's the thing, I think Voldemort would be perfectly happy, maybe even happiest, if he's on his own. And I mean that on a sort of global scale.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Which again comes back to, what is he actually sort of looking for? It's pretty... It's quite hard to define, isn't it?
What's the point of being...
immortal and on
immortal
your own?
If you're on your
right,
own,
but you can't show off. You have to show off to someone, right? Like, at least.
Keep Bellatrix around just to show off to her.
Yeah, well, and have your children, apparently. Oh. Is it... It's a cursed child for you. But is it...
So much.
Is it subjugation of Muggles? Do you think that's his real game?
I don't think
it is. He actually
doesn't
care about wizards. He just wants to be the overlord of all the Muggle.
So I don't think it is. I think that... Because we have to remember that Voldemort himself is not pure blood. Which isn't necessarily a problem, because dictators throughout history have come from the groups that they have then turned on. But I'm fairly certain that actually... the pure blood rhetoric is just a really easy horse to hitch your wagon to if you're Voldemort. Like, you're in Slytherin. You've got people like Lucius Malfoy around you. So, like, you hear all of their pure blood rhetoric and you go, well, I can turn that to my own ends. Here's a ready-made, disaffected group of people who will be really easy to get on side just by saying that I'll let them go Muggle hunting again or whatever.
That's interesting. Right? Because that sounds kind of Grindelwaldish to me as well.
Yeah.
The difference is that Grindelwald... So they're similar in that respect, where Grindelwald is just... He's a much more open politician, right? Even when he's effectively hunted by many authorities in the world, he just goes public and says... fuck you, people agree with me.
Yeah, basically. Absolutely.
Whereas Voldemort always has to stay in the shadows because...
Because his...
The majority don't agree with him.
Because his rhetoric is so much nastier. And that's a huge difference. Grindelwald basically is out there saying, I don't think wizards should have to hide. We are provably better than Muggles. What are we hiding for? Why do we have to live in the shadows? Which are probably thoughts that most wizards have had from time to time. Like,
well, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily the provably better bit, but I hate the fact that I have to live in the shadows. I hate the fact that my life is bound by the International Statute of Secrecy, etc. Like, yeah, that's going to be a really persuasive logic. Voldemort's logic is, yeah, we should all be able to torture Muggles whenever we want. Because that's the most extreme end of the rhetoric that you get out of people like Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I think that is the difference. Yeah, that is the difference. So coming back then to sort of dueling strength.
So there's a really interesting thing. This is completely off piste, but so in the Wheel of Time, obviously because the Wheel of Time is insane, every single magic user in that series can be plotted in a table, yeah, basically, yeah, strongest to weakest. And the strongest, this is just a fact as written by Robert Jordan, the strongest women in terms of raw ability to channel are not as strong as the strongest men. They're just not. But Robert Jordan himself makes the point that women are, on the whole, have better control and better finesse than men when it comes to channeling. So the very strongest women, if they also have high enough levels of finesse, can match the strength of the strongest men with, yeah, that finesse.
Basically. Plus they can multi-channel.
They can do more with a lot less.
Yeah.
Type thing.
So where are you going with this?
So to bring this back, even if we accept that Voldemort is potentially the strongest wizard in terms of his raw magical ability, I think Grindelwald just has more skill, and that extra skill is going to make up the difference.
I don't know.
I might be wrong.
I still don't know where I stand on all this, because we know from the books that Tom Marvolo Riddles was one of the most gifted students to come through Hogwarts.
But he doesn't.
That's just a written fact.
That's true. And that's going to always be, I think, the thorn in the side of this argument. Is
the only thing we really know about Grindelwald, the only thing, as if it's trivial, is that Dumbledore says, I knew we were matched, perhaps that I was a shade more skillful. Right? Yeah. Dumbledore, if nothing else, we know he has a pretty good opinion of himself.
I was going to say, Dumbledore is not shy about being really, really good.
Exactly. So I think when he's saying that, what he's effectively saying is Gellert Grindelwald is the second most skilled wizard currently in existence.
Yeah, he's an intellectual peer of,
yeah,
arguably the greatest wizard of all time.
But we never hear Dumbledore describe Tom Riddle as powerful, not in the way that you're talking about, I don't think, do we?
You get the line about even my most powerful protective charms and enchantments wouldn't be enough.
Yeah, but McGonagall very quickly shuts that down, right? Because she says, yeah, but only because you don't stoop to his level.
True. True.
And I think that's always the thread, right? Is that Voldemort just does stuff that nobody else wants to do, not because they can't do it, they just don't want to do it. And as Dumbledore keeps pointing out, he fundamentally doesn't understand magic.
Yeah. Which I think is almost certainly Voldemort's biggest downfall. It's like if you can split your soul, shouldn't I just split it into seven because that's the most powerfully,
yeah,
magical number? And everyone is just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Obviously, so mathematical. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's mathematical in a field where that doesn't really matter.
It's magical paint by numbers.
Yeah.
Tom Riddle is a guy. I don't think it is. Tom Riddle is a guy who does paint by numbers, and he does it incredibly well. Dumbledore and Grindelwald are impressionists. There, done it. Solved Harry Potter.
It's not the worst thing you've ever said, but it's also not the greatest thing you've ever said.
I can feel you both shaking your head and gritting your teeth. Shaking your head at the analogy and gritting your teeth because it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, yeah. It's not great. It's just not that bad. So coming back down to it, I feel like I have to conclude that I think Grindelwald is certainly more skillful than I believe Voldemort to be. And I think there's nothing to suggest that there's an innate power difference between any of them.
I think on an individual level, I'm more scared of Voldemort than Grindelwald. Like, bumping into them walking down the street, I'm more scared of Voldemort than I am of Grindelwald. But
See, I'm not, I think. If I'm a skillful wizard, I think I'd be more afraid of Grindelwald.
Because of the power of his rhetoric.
Yeah, not because I think he's going to lynch me. Because when I see Voldemort, that's what I'm expecting, right?
Yeah, Voldemort will just blast me walking down the street for no reason at all.
Yeah, and I think you could play along with Voldemort pretty easily.
This is the Lupin.
You just need some occlumency. It's literally the entire thing. That if Harry Potter only had learned occlumency, none of this would have happened.
True.
It's a separate story, I suppose.
Why is Harry Potter such a shit student?
Yeah. So let's come on to the third candidate then. Dumbledore.
Is Dumbledore the worst?
The worst Dark of the worst. Wizard?
Surely not.
No, if for no other... Well, I was going to say, if for no other reason than he shows remorse for his actions and he carries the guilt and regret for his entire life.
And he stops.
Problem with that statement is that that's also true of Grindelwald.
But Dumbledore... I feel like Dumbledore stops before he takes the damning step. And also Dumbledore stops himself. Grindelwald has to be stopped.
Even that's true.
Even if we accept that they're... famous duel of 1945 actually wasn't. Dumbledore still had to go to Grindelwald and stop him, even if stopping him was just talking to him, whereas Dumbledore stopped on his own.
I guess the question is, you know, had Dumbledore been an only child, for example, would...
Oh, the world's fucked.
Would things be different? But, the world's fucked. That's an impossible thing to...
Grindelwald and Dumbledore work together. And everyone is born into their... pseudo-communist utopia.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing some thinking.
What a world it would be.
I think Grindelwald is more communist than fascist, based on his rhetoric. Because I was saying he was Wizard Hitler, and then I said he was Wizard Mussolini, which I thought I was really proud of, but actually I think he's like Wizard... Lenin? I'm not as good on my communists.
I think those are all terrible examples.
Yeah, they're all really, really bad.
So if you take out of the equation that they're wizards and therefore fundamentally, maybe not a different species, but like they're playing a different game, right?
Yeah.
If you just see them as a group of people, he's kind of a revolutionary, right? Because he's saying, why are we suppressed?
Yeah.
Even though they're suppressed because of their own... Well, we had this debate some time ago, but there's something to that. It's only because nefarious, because what he's actually saying is we're more powerful than them, so we should take advantage of that, and that's a worrying rhetoric.
Is he wizard?
No.
George Washington.
No.
No, I didn't think so. I just wanted to say
he's not
that
saying one. We're paying so much fucking tax to these muggles. When you know full well that wizards do not pay tax to muggles.
No, it's my biggest. It's like my second biggest complaint about wizards. That and cancer. You know that they could cure cancer without trying.
Yes, but maybe this would have been on Grindelwald's manifesto, being like, stop hiding, we cure cancer.
Yeah, no, like, this is... That was
because we knew what cancer was back then.
That was the basis of my... We knew what cancer was in the 1940s. We just couldn't do anything about it.
Towards the end, yeah, but I think earlier than that. We sort of did, didn't we? So Dumbledore not...
That was the genesis of my... I don't agree with Grindelwald, but...
yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. Yeah, good times. Dumbledore, yeah, not...
I don't think you can call Dumbledore a dark wizard. I don't think that's fair, but I think that there are very few capital D dark wizards. Like, Voldemort, yes. Grindelwald, probably... But I don't think the split helps, because Harry Potter casts Cruciatus Curse and the Imperius Curse, and he casts the Cruciatus Curse at a human being. Like, yeah. That's a lifetime sentence in Azkaban.
Does it in front of a teacher as well?
Does it in front of a teacher.
Who just says that was very gallant.
Oh, exactly. So does that make McGonagall a dark wizard? Because she enables...
Well, no, because I think she wizard, he actually fucked it up. Because it didn't really form as a Kreshata's curse. He just sort of...
No, it's just
blasts like him back.
It's just a completely over-the-top stunning spell.
Which you know, says a lot about Harry Potter as an individual, I think, right?
Yeah, but
even in that situation, he can't bring himself to do it.
But, my point more generally is that, like, you can't break people down into such binary categories as good wizard and dark wizard. Most people are just people doing things, and you've got to look at what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
I think so. There is a lot that Dumbledore does that is double plus ungood. Like, he does some shitty stuff. And he should be held to account for that. But he also does a lot of good stuff. And
ironically, is the most influential and powerful of the three, because he just sort of put his head down and did the work.
We forgot to talk about Tom Riddle applying to be Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher at Hogwarts.
Well, I mentioned it right at the start.
You did, but I wanted to come back to it, and I forgot about it, which is frustrating. Because I sort of agree that that might be the smartest thing he's ever done.
Yeah. I just don't know if I... Yeah. I just don't buy that he'd be smart enough to use that to his advantage.
I can't work out if, at the time of that interview, he actually just wants to be a Hogwarts teacher. Like... It's entirely possible that if Dumbledore gives him that job, nothing of the rest of it happens, because he gets...
That could be a twist, yeah.
He gets essentially the peer recognition that he's been searching for. The nod from a wizard that he respects, because he does respect Dumbledore.
Yeah, but the problem is he's already Voldemort.
Being a bit of a shit... Yeah, he's already been a bit of a shit. And he's already got Death Eaters. Yeah.
He's already got a reputation. Horcruxed.
Has he Horcruxed at that point?
He's got at least one, because he's already looking a bit less human. And I think Dumbledore knows all these things, right?
He doesn't know.
Which is a whole other can of worms, because why does he just let a known murderer walk out of his office? But, you know,
yeah.
Dumbledore does Dumbledore things.
Dumbledore did Dumbledore's all over the place.
Very quickly then, the last point, the other one. Yes. More evidence...
In favour of Dumbledore.
In favour of Dumbledore. I was going to say, more evidence that Voldemort is worse than Grindelwald, because Voldemort doesn't even win the Elder Wand when he's holding the Elder Wand.
He just doesn't think...
But then Grindelwald loses the Elder Wand to Dumbledore in a duel, so, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like the 1945 duel is not like a proper wizard duel. Like,
I think it is. I think it's a rematch of the one that killed Ariana. But I think, in my head, it probably ends in a sort of, oh fuck, what am I actually doing moment for Grindelwald. For whatever reason. I don't know how he gets there.
Maybe. But maybe. Dumbledore casts a killing curse. And that's the sort of... Oh, I'm not saying... Just hear me out. I'm not, obviously it doesn't hit, because Grindelwald survives.
You know, I don't hate that.
But that's what essentially shakes Grindelwald out, because Dumbledore, if whatever he's doing has pushed Dumbledore to the idea that I have to kill this man, that's almost the wake up call that Grindelwald needs to be like, what the fuck am I doing? Because
yeah, especially if he hasn't. And Dumbledore has, yeah. That I don't like that. You know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Grindelwald's not fighting to kill. Grindelwald is fighting to subdue, and Dumbledore is fighting to kill, and that's what causes Grindelwald to basically surrender. I quite like that as a theory, but it sort of comes back to. Voldemort is so by the numbers, he can't possibly entertain a version of the world in which the fact that Snape killed Dumbledore wasn't sufficient for Snape to win the Elder Wand.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that his brain works. Which comes back to the point that you made earlier. He doesn't understand magic.
Yeah.
For all his technical ability.
Yeah, because people will have told him that actually Malfoy disarms Dumbledore. At that point, I think, if you really understand magic.
Yeah, Bellatrix would have given him Bellatrix would have given him a full breakdown of what happened on the astronomy tower.
Yeah.
And it's just not got through his thick snake-like skull. Because in his brain, Snape killed Dumbledore.
I'll never understand why he gets Nagini to kill Snape. Like, even if there's only an infinitesimally small chance that kind of fucks up the sort of transition of power of the Elder Wand.
Because he doesn't want to risk dueling Snape, because Snape's the master of the Elder Wand, and he's holding the Elder Wand. He doesn't want the Elder Wand to turn on him. That's why.
It was Snape.
He doesn't want to have happen what happens in the Great Hall.
No, I see. No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a second.
No?
No. No, because that's a level of magic that he's just incapable of understanding.
No, I think he's
capable. Even when he gets like, oh, I think you were involved, so I need to kill you. I don't think for a second in his mind he'd be...
No, I think he's capable of understanding that at that moment, Snape is the master of the Elder Wand. So...
Yeah, no, sure, but he's holding the Elder Wand.
Yeah, but... You might be right. I think...
Because Harry tells him at the end, that's my wand. And Voldemort doesn't go, oh, fuck.
No, I suppose that's true, isn't it? That's true.
I mean, obviously, Snape and Harry are...
Two different...
two different sort of players, but...
So also, it's narratively necessary.
Also, it's narratively necessary.
Like, that's the actual answer. It happens because that's the only way that Harry can get the tears in the vial to go in the poncive to see the whole story.
Yeah, I forget you say it like that. I always think of it as a pensive because, you know, you're pensive when you use it.
Yeah, no, that's probably right. Why do I call it a poncive? I don't know, because I'm a twat. Because
you're so French.
Because I'm so French and posh.
I think on that note, there's no rowing back after that. Concluding remarks then, go on. Who's your darkest dark wizard to have ever dark wizarded?
The darkest dark wizard to have ever dark wizarded. I think it has to be Grindelwald. I think anyone can be a psychopath with no... human connections, who doesn't value human life, and so can Avada Kedavra anyone off the face of the earth without worrying about it. That doesn't make you special. What makes Grindelwald special and what makes Grindelwald dangerous is his rhetoric, his vision, like populist leaders in the real world. Right? What makes them special isn't the fact that they can bench press a truck. It's that people are willing to follow them, and not just extremists, but everyday people are convinced by and willing to follow Gellert Grindelwald. And that's what makes him dangerous, and that's what makes him far worse than Voldemort, to my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I largely agree with you. But of course, the Dark Wizard... Darkest wizard to have ever dark wizarded was Merlin for creating the United Kingdom and all the atrocities it's committed. And on that note, thanks for listening to this episode of Expertise is Overrated. No doubt we've said some things that were either objectively wrong or downright offensive. Yeah, you're not getting anything
in the last 30 as seconds. Ever,
feel free to let us know. Rate the podcast wherever you can. Check out our Patreon for bonus content and come chat to us on our Discord.
If you're lucky, we might just argue with you in one of our upcoming episodes. If you're really lucky, we might call you an idiot. Come back next time for some more absolute nonsense. Thank you.